I want you to take your Bibles this morning, if you would. Oh, and you pray for me this morning, all right? I'm just about to give out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I brought this subject up a few weeks ago in a message. And it had to do with being separate from the world and being separated and severed from the world. There's an interesting place in the book of John where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. If you go look at this story and read it, that to me it just stood out one day that when this woman was talking to Jesus and she perceived that he was the Messiah, she went running back to all the people that was in the city where she lived. And She went around telling everybody, the Messiah is out here by the well. And she told everybody. Well, the Bible says, the King James Bible says, they came out of the city. And one day that just jumped out at me. I mean, just stood right out at me. That in order to meet Jesus, they came out of the city. Usually a city is going to be a type of either of heavenly Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, or it's going to be a picture of Mystery Babylon. God tells us in Jeremiah 51, He tells us in Revelation 17 and 18. God says, I'm going to judge Babylon. So therefore, you come out of Babylon. You come out of this world system so that you're not partakers of her plagues. When I judge her, I'm going to get her good. What did God send word? What did He send the two witnesses, the two angels, to Lot to tell him to do? Dig a hole, get him a bunker, stave up food and water, get a generator. No, he told him, come out. God's going to destroy this city. You need to come out of the city. And that's what Lot did. And over and over and over, you see that in the scripture. There's a movement that's been going around in the last 20, 30 years. It is really, it's just almost inculcated and infiltrated most churches in this country. There's an idea that says, as a church, let's quit being like a church and let's be like the world. Let's dress like the world. Let's act like the world. There are churches who are taking their crosses down because they don't want to offend anybody. And I'm here to tell you, if that cross is an offense to you, you're not right with God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, the Bible says. So they're taking the crosses down. They started bringing the world into their music in the form of what was called contemporary Christian music. Now that they've taken the next step, which is they are not playing. In a lot of churches, they don't even play contemporary Christian music. They will play worldly rock and roll music in the house of God. One church was playing Hell's Bells as part of the sermon series this preacher was going to preach. AC/DC, Hell's Bells. If you know that song, you're just going, there is no way. Okay? That's what they're doing. And so instead of the churches doing what God tells us to do, which is come out of Babylon, the churches are being hooked into Babylon themselves. And for some reason, they don't see it. I learned a long time ago in life, there is always a place for just about everything. And I know that you and I cannot live completely and totally segregated from every area of this world. It's impossible to do. And even if you could figure out a way to do most of it, the devil knows how to get to people. You would be surprised at the issues that Amish and Mennonite farmers and families and who live in their communities who say we're totally separated from the world. You'd be surprised at the issues that are inside their communities. I read an article several years ago where the Mennonite groups up in Canada, one of the provinces up in Canada, they had a severe drug problem. And I'm talking illegal drug. They had a severe drug problem in these Amish communities. So it's nearly impossible for us to just not have anything to do with the world whatsoever. So the Bible tells us, be ye in the world, but not of the world. And so while it's not possible to just totally segregate from every part of this world, There's a lesson here. As I was reading this, God kind of directed me this week to a passage of Scripture that I've known for a while. But as I kept going back over it, I began to see a picture emerging here. And I don't always title my messages until I usually when I'm done preaching. But here's what came to me as I'm putting this together. It's called The Other Side of the Yoke. And I want you to ask yourself, whatever you're yoked into, because you are yoked to something, what is on the other side of your yoke? Okay? And I want you to ponder that as we read the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So right here he's telling you, it's possible for you to be yoked to an unbeliever. And yoked with them, either people do it through marriage, people do it through different types of family bonds, they do it through business bonds, they do it through societal bonds, joining in with people are hooked into different political ideas that they may not agree with and so on, but because they belong to this organization or that committee or this group over here or whatever, then they find themselves yoked to it. And when I get to the passage, we're going to be in the 1 Kings here in a little bit. God always has a really good reason why He doesn't want you yoked in with these people. It's because God sees things that you don't see and that you don't perceive. Will you at least admit that one? Say amen. Do you believe that God can see things going on that you are not aware of? And I believe the Bible will shine light into areas of your life that maybe you're hooked in with something and you don't really see the harm nor the danger of it, but God knows what's there. And I'm going to show you. He draws a picture of this doctrine in the scriptures. So he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You know what that word means? Unfaithful. Fide means faith. They are unfaithful. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So verse 17 once again. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I want you to make a little note there at the last part of verse 17. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I think that that is a prophecy. I think it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it's going to be manifested. But I think practically all of the Bible is prophetic glasses to help us to see what's going to be coming down the road. And when it shows up, those of us who believe this Bible will know what that is and will say, I'm sorry, that's unclean, and God told me not to touch it. Can I get an amen out of God's people? God told me not to touch it. I don't know, like I say, I don't know what it is, but that just stands out to me as I'm reading this. It just stands out to me. There's something coming in this world that the world is going to embrace, and God's people are going to say, that's not for us. We're out. God, you might as well, you either kill us, world, or God will take us out one way or the other, but we are not going to do that. Have the resolve of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who told King Nebuchadnezzar, yeah, we heard you when you told us to fall down before this image. We believe that our God will save us, but if He doesn't, we're still not bowing down to that. So you can do to us whatever you want to. You might as well get on it, because we are not going to bow down to your idol. And I would, I don't, people talk about how the government's got a secret list of people that they're going to kill when the New World Order takes over. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, I wouldn't mind my name to be on that list. Amen. Amen. But anyway, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll turn in our Bibles. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessings upon this message. I pray, God, Lord, that you'd give me grace to preach it the way it should be preached. Father, that you'd bless the infirmity of my flesh. Lord, Father, I'm not feeling good today. I feel weak. Pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would just give me strength enough to preach the message. Lord, that it would reach out to somebody, be a blessing. Lord, Father, that maybe today, Father, you would help somebody see what is really going on in their lives. That's what this Bible's for. It draws pictures for us so that we can see it. Lord, just bless and use this for your glory and your kingdom's sake. And Father, we just thank you. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. One of the things that's helped me over the years in studying, just studying for my benefit, is I keep seeing it over and over again. If God has a doctrine somewhere in the Bible, there's going to be a picture of that doctrine. He's going to show you what it looks like. God will even show you why He tells you certain things to do, and He lets you see. It's called typology. If you're reading literature, if you're studying some sort of book or short story or something like that, they call it in literature foreshadowing. If you've ever remember that from being in college or high school or whatever. But in the Bible, it's typology. These are shadows of things to come. And God draws a picture of His doctrine. So God tells you, or that you may hear the preacher, me or somebody else tell you, you shouldn't belong to this, shouldn't go to this place, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't spend your money here, you should on and on and on and on, telling you all these things that you shouldn't do. And some people don't like that. Well, why don't see anything? They say, I don't see anything wrong with who I hang around with. I don't see anything wrong with doing this, and I don't see anything wrong with doing that. Young people especially. Young people are the most vulnerable in this area because they have not been hurt the way us older adults have been hurt in life. Can I get an amen out of some older adults? They have not had to suffer and pay for their own stupidity in their youth. Okay? So they don't immediately see the issue and the problem with being yoked in with something at school or some friends or a boyfriend or girlfriend, or whatever. They do not immediately see the danger. I tell you what I thought, and probably all of us thought at that time, well, that was okay for y'all, but I'm better than that. Or that won't be a problem for me or whatever. We fill ourselves with pride when we're young, and we think that we can actually get away with the things that our parents didn't get away with. We think we're smarter than that. Young people, you'll find out one of these days. You're not as smart as what I thought I was. Amen? You're not that smart. So anyway, we'll figure it out. But why is it that God wants us to not be unequally yoked? What is on the other side of your yoke? And God is going to draw your attention. He's going to show you in the Scriptures. If you'll ask, if you'll receive it, if you'll say, God, I want to know, should I belong to this? Should I be part of this? Should I do this? Should I go here to college? Should I go, whatever it is in life. God, should I be doing this? Should I be a part of it? Show me, Lord, what is on the other side of what I'm about to hook myself into. 1 Kings chapter 22. Let's pick it up in verse 1. They continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. This is in the days now of Ahab the king. Ahab is king of the 10 northern tribes. This nation of Israel has been divided because of the sin of David. The nation of Israel is now being divided. 10 tribes to the north, and then Judah and Benjamin on the south. Ahab is king of the northern tribes in Samaria. Jehoshaphat is king over Judah and Benjamin to the south and to the east. And most of the time, whoever was king of one or the other at the time, most of the time the 10 northern tribes did not get along with the other two tribes. They fought amongst themselves and they had war, things like that. But now we have a situation where there's no war for 3 years. So here's what we find. We find Jehoshaphat, and I can say a lot about Jehoshaphat. I don't have time to this morning. But Jehoshaphat is one of those men that when he encountered armies that were coming against him, he realized that if God didn't save him, nobody else was going to save him. And Jehoshaphat had a mind in his heart to pour his complaint out to God, and God heard him. Jehoshaphat is a guy that, for the most part, he gets it as far as God is concerned. He understands it. He knows how God works. He worships and believes in God and so on. So I want you to think of who Jehoshaphat is. Now think of who Ahab is. And you think about this as we approach this. So in verse 2, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? Now, if we were to stop right here, God has a principle. It's a universal principle. It's always been about Do not hook in or be yoked together with unbelievers. Ahab is an unbeliever. Ahab did not believe the word of prophecy as delivered by Elijah the prophet. He did not believe it. And there's more about him we'll talk about here in a little bit. But he represents the wickedness of this world. He represents this world and the world's ways. He is an unbeliever. Jehoshaphat is a believer. He knows better. But now he finds himself being yoked in. Ahab asks him a question. Ahab says, hey, Ramoth Gilead over here, the Syrians have had it all these years. Why are we just sitting here not doing anything? We got all these armies, we got all these weapons, we've got all this programs going on. Why don't we just go take back what is ours? Will you go with me? Jehoshaphat should have said, I'm sorry. Maybe God may send me up there or God may send you up there. I mean you no harm, but it is forbidden for me to hook up with you because you despise the word of the Lord and I believe what God said and you and I don't belong together. The fact of it is, Jehoshaphat had no business up there where they had to begin with. God called him out. He should have known better, but that's not what he did. But Jehoshaphat should have put his foot down and said, look, Ahab, I mean you no harm. If God sends you up there, go. Maybe God will send me up there. And if God sends me up there, I guarantee you he's going to give it to us, whether both of us hook together or not. So let's just do it that way. That way God gets all the glory. That's not what Jehoshaphat did. And so he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat the king said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horse as thy horses. Wrong answer, Jehoshaphat. Wrong answer. Don't hook in with unbelievers. You need to consider what is on the other side of the yoke. And you need to ask yourself, for the benefit of your absolute eternal soul, if I go along with this crowd, or I go along with this bunch, or I go along with this organization, or I'm part of this group at school, or what, I'm hooked into this family by marriage, or whatever it is, you need to ask yourself, where are they going, and where do I want to go? Where do I want to spend eternity? Because I'm going to tell you something. You might, I believe in loving everybody, loving people, and I love my family, I love my wife, my children, my sons, my grandchildren, I love my daughters, I love this church, but I'm telling you, I'm not hooking into any one of you. If you're going to go out and go serve the devil, I don't want to burn in hell for all of eternity. That's not where I want to be. I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to be hooked in with unbelief. I don't want that in my life. And if I'm part of something, I see that it's going the wrong direction, man, I put the brakes on and say, I'm going to stop right here. I mean, I know I maybe shouldn't have gone this far with it, but I'm going to tell you what the greater sin is if I keep going to try to save face, and I'm not doing it. I'm out. God dealt with me about that issue years and years ago when I was going to have a rock and roll concert in this church. I had already hooked into it, had already agreed to it, and went along with it, and the Holy Ghost was telling me, Mike, don't do that, Mike, don't do that. Mike, that's wicked, don't do that, Mike, don't do that. And finally, it all came crashing down 2 days before the deal was going to happen. And I got on my face before God and said, God, you're right. I'm sorry that I got this far with it. God, you give me the strength and I'll call it off. And I had to call somebody that was one of my best friends at the time and say, we're not doing this. God said no. And I had to stand up instead of just keep going to say, well, I can't tell him no. You know, I've already said I had to. I can't tell. Instead of doing that, God just put it in my heart and I said, can't do this. It's not right. You need to consider what's on the other side of that yoke, people. You need to stop and think about that. So here's what happened. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. See where Jehoshaphat's going? See, he's got a little bit of sense in him of what's right and wrong. Well, he's already committed himself. I've already said that I'm going to do it. Let's go ask God what he thinks about it. That should have been the first thing that Jehoshaphat did instead of the second thing. Can I get an amen? That's what he should have done. But anyway, he said, the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And you look at what they say. And they said, go up. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king.
Bless God. Amen. You see, it sounds spiritual, doesn't it? The 400 prophets didn't say, well, you know, your armies are bigger. Your weaponry is far superior. Your tactics are, you know, cannot be fought against. And I'd say from a military standpoint, I think you guys, that's not what they said. Oh, the Lord. Oh, we've inquired. 400 prophets. Oh, we've inquired of the Lord. Oh, God has told us that this is how it's going to be. God told us for you to go do it, and He's going to give you peace. It sounds spiritual. It sounds like it's from God. It has the majority vote. But God didn't have anything to do with it. And if we're not careful, we will self-justify the things that we do or the things that we associate ourselves with other people, because, well, they talk like they're a Christian. They, you know, the stupidest thing I ever heard in the last few years was that all these young teenagers were saying that Justin Bieber was a Christian. Oh, he prays before he goes out on stage. Big hoop-de-doo. First of all, who's he praying to? Well, he prays to God. Really? Is that before or after he smokes marijuana in his dressing room? Because here lately, he had hired a private plane to take him and his booze buddies and his father down to the Super Bowl for a party. The pilot and the workers in the airplane all got into the cockpit and shut the door and wouldn't come out. The marijuana smoke was so thick in there, they said, we'll get tested, we'll lose our job just from being in the same plane with these rascals. And that pilot said, I'd never again fly for that guy. Never again. See, we can justify it. Oh, I belong to the Christian League over here. The Christian League is, they're doing this. Yeah, who's part of that? Well, we've got some Baptists and we got some this and that over here. Then we got some Roman Catholics, we got some Mormons, and then some Jehovah's Witness guys. You're hooked into the wrong thing. You're yoking yourselves with people that the devil is trying to make it sound like they're Christian. Make it sound like they're spiritual. Make it sound like they're of God. And oh, by the way, there are lots of people who are in on this group. Who cares? Jesus told us that the way that we're supposed to go is a narrow way. I don't see how lots of people fit onto a narrow way. And the gate is narrow. That means that it's not going to be as many as what you think it is. Not too many people. Many shall come in my name saying, Lord, Lord. He says, I'm sorry, I've never knew you. So just because it sounds spiritual, just because they mention God, just because there's a majority of it, that doesn't mean it's right. Well, how can we know? See, I read all these Bibles. That's your problem. You see, the Bibles, the NIV and the New American Standard Message Bible and all these other Bibles, they say God. Don't they say God in them? Sure they do. They talk about Jesus every now and then. Don't they talk about Jesus? Oh, yeah. And by the way, you go to the bookstore, I guarantee you, you're going to find 10 to 1 more of these other Bibles than you will King James in a Bible bookstore. That means the majority now of the church is buying false Bibles and walking away from the King James. That still does not make it right. It's wrong. Ezekiel was told by God to give the prophets of his day a word. And he said, you go around telling everybody peace, peace, and it is not peace. You're lying through your teeth. And God did not say this. And these prophets were telling Ahab, Ahab, bless God, we had a pastor's meeting. Oh, we had the fires of revival coming down. And oh, it was great. Oh, we all spoke in tongues and we all shouted and we all did this. And I'm telling you, King Ahab, God's giving you the city. I mean, it's a done deal. Let's see where Jehoshaphat is on this thing. Because Jehoshaphat, I mean, he's not a bad guy. He's more like us than I think what we realize. Because like I said a while ago, even if you hook in with something or someone, or I don't even know how to preach it, and then you get to a point where you realize this is not right. You might lose face with some people. You might make some people mad at you. You might have some people call you names.
But at some point in life, you're going to have to put the skids on, put the brakes on, stand up and say, I love you. I mean you no harm. But I can't do this. This is not right. And you're worried about saving face. You're worried about, well, you know, that's our family. You know, we can't really, you know, that's our family. You're worried about everything else in the world except for where the yoke is going. You need to consider who you're yoked into. In 2 Peter, God had... Let me make sure I got my notes stacked up right here. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter said, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Ahab, had he not gone to fight the battle the next day, would have lived. Ahab would have... That is the battle that Ahab got killed in. Had Ahab not lusted after this certain city, and God did not tell him to go get that, had he not lusted after that, Ahab would have lived. But he went to the false prophets and the false teachers who with great swelling words of vanity, they allured through his lust and he was destroyed as a result of it. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. And I'm telling you something, if you don't consider who or what you're yoked in with, who's on the other side of that yoke, you may wake up one day and find out you're in bondage and you don't know how to get out of it. So back to 1 Kings chapter 22. In verse 7, the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Jehoshaphat's got a little bit of common sense in him. He's going, you know what? That doesn't sound right to me. That does not sound like my God speaking. I didn't hear any these and thous when they were quoting scripture. I think there's way too many drums and lights and guitars in that for that. That just didn't sound right to me. They keep singing in the praise and worship service, you come to me, you do this for me, I praise you. Who is you? They're singing to an unidentified deity somewhere, and they will not name the name of Jesus Christ. They won't pray in his name. They won't worship him. They won't preach on hellfire and brimstone. They won't preach on the results of sin in your life. They will not touch those things. We hook into them. Now I'm telling you, there ought to be something in you that says, you know what, I don't know, something ain't right here. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not as gifted with the Bible as some other people are. But there's just something not right about this. And I'm going to step back and I'm going to ask a question. Is there not anybody else? So here's 400 prophets that Ahab hired to tell him what he wanted to hear. Look at Ahab's response. Verse 8. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now I want to tell you something. This world, young people and old people, you might as well just get it in your mind. This world hates the Word of God. The world hates the real Jesus. And if whoever side you're going to be on, if they hate you, it's because you're yoked to Christ. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Ask yourself, am I hooked in with Christ or am I hooked in with the world? And you don't want to make... I'm that way. I don't want to make people mad. I don't want people mad at me. I don't want people to say, well, I don't like that Hoggard. He's an idiot. He's King James only. He does this and he preaches against that. And I don't like that. Joe Pogue had us... part of a youth conference several years ago, and had me, it's going to be like a 3 or 4 night deal at different churches, and had me to preach the last, and he said, Hoggy, there's a reason why I got you in on this thing, and he said, I think you know what it is. He said, I know you're going to preach it good and straight to these young people. And God laid a message in my heart, and I did. I want to tell you what, God was just mopping sin up everywhere. There's kids all over the place. You know why? Because I was about the only preacher in that whole group that gave King James Bible verses when he preached. And I, God thank you, there was even a youth pastor that I knew he and I didn't get along because he was a lot more liberal than I was, down at the altar praying. God was dealing with him about stuff in his life, and he and I rejoiced together that night. There was a young man,
there at that conference who was a youth pastor of one of these churches. He was Rick Warren's contact man in the state of Missouri. That man, I could tell, he was angry, he was hot, he was mad. He wouldn't even talk to me. He wouldn't look at me. Wouldn't say a word. His wife went over to console him. I mean, he was here, all these kids and these adults at the altar crying out to God. And he's mad because I preached against rock music. I preached against Harry Potter. I preached against all that stuff down there. And they came down and they said, "We want to be free." And this youth pastor was ticked off at me over it. "Why, you're not supposed to say stuff like that." He was as mad at me as I was at Reg Kelly the first time I heard him preach. Was mad at him. But I found out there's some things that just got to be said. Amen. Some things just got to be said. If they're in the Word of God, you got a responsibility to listen to it. So Joshua said, I need somebody else. And Ahab said, "I got Micaiah, but I hate him. I won't go to his church. I don't like the music they play at their church. I don't like that old King James stuff being preached at that church. I don't like him." So John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me." Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat had told King Ahab, "Let not the king say so." Let's hear this guy. God's sheep know God's voice and they know what it sounds like. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. And when something, and that means the world doesn't. So I could just turn everything off right now that I've got going in my life. I could turn this liberal preacher and probably run you all out, or you run me out, and go build a mega church somewhere and preach nice things and happy thoughts, and let people shack up and live in sin and be sodomites and do everything else in the world and be in the house of God and think that they're going to heaven. I couldn't do that. I was headed in that direction one day and God stopped me with a rod. He said, "Proceed no further." And I'm just telling you that if you're of God, there's something in you that's going to tell you that's not of God. And I know it. I can't spot it out. That's not of God. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How many prophets did Ahab have? 400. That sounds like a lot. So it's 400 to 1. Micaiah is the only one. 400 to 1. Now, if you want to base what you believe on in popularity, be my guest. If you want to base what you believe on because, well, everybody in my family or everybody in my group believes this way, so this way I'm going to believe this way. Go ahead. Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." And most of these preachers know that if they put up a billboard in town and put something on there about sex and how they're going to talk dirty in the church house, they'll fill the church pews with people who are lustful and full of fornication and sin. They'll go to that church because they're going to talk dirty in that church. And it's happening all over this nation. Ed Young Jr. down in Houston, pulling a stunt where him and his wife is in a bed on the roof of their church 24 hours so the news media would show up with their cameras and get an image of him and his wife in bed together and say, "Bless God, this Sunday we're going to start talking about sex in the church." Makes me sick. The false prophets are everywhere. It's after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. And Ahab and Jehoshaphat was on his way to believe a fable. But God stopped him. He said, "Jehoshaphat, ask if there's somebody else, because I got a guy." And so finally, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 9, look in your Bible. "Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, 'Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah.' The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron and said, 'Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them.' And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, 'Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand.'
And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. I've had that invitation. Chris, I've had that invitation. You just come, Mike, and you speak what we speak, and we'll get you into our group, and we'll put you out. Boy, you'll just be like one of us, and boy, you'll have it made. You'll be rich, and you'll be one of these rich pastors, got this big church. Mike, if you'll just now go along with what everybody else wants you to say, and say what everybody wants you to say, then you'll be fine. And at some point, I just had to put skids on and say, no, I can't do that. You did it. You did it in your old church. I mean, you got in on it. And I'm sorry to make you an example, but this is just what he did. He was involved in a church, and all of a sudden now, the Holy Ghost is dealing with him saying, this ain't right. This ain't right. This ain't right. This ain't right. So he ends up, I don't know how you end up looking on the internet for answers. And up pops this big, fat, ugly Mike Hoggard guy, giving him scriptures. And he says, wait a minute, the scriptures say this. How come this woman is standing here speaking out loud in the church service when it says right here she's supposed to be silent? So everybody gets hooked into something for a while, but after a while you just got to pull the brakes and say, I'm done. I can't go this route anymore. My soul is worth more to me than your friendship. You ponder that. So, anyway, he said, speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Now look at verse 15. So he came to the king. In fact, you know what? Let's do this. Let's go to verse 19. I want to hasten this a little bit and get to the meat of it, all right? He said, hear thou therefore the word. Micaiah is standing before Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and he says, I'm going to tell you what I saw. So he says, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Micaiah represents the Bible that you have in your hand that's going to give you a picture of the spiritual things that are going on in your life or around your life right now. How many of you believe that? Say amen. If you ever want to see spirits, read your Bible. You'll see all kinds of them in there. If you ever want to hear from God, read your Bible. You hear from God. Amen. If something's going on in your life and you don't have... Lord, I don't know what's going on. Show it to me. Read your Bible. God will show you spirits that are working in your life right now. So he said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? See, God had set up Ahab. He said, I'm going to kill him tomorrow. You know why? Because he stole Naboth's vineyard. He stole Naboth's vineyard. And I swore that I was going to cut him off from being king as a result of that. And God had it set up that he was going to die the next day in battle. So God, he's got all these spirits, both good and bad, at his feet in heaven. By the way, God controls all of them. You look at this picture. Lord said, verse 20, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, another said on that matter. Verse 21, and there came forth the Spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Verse 22, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith, or how will you do this? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so now. This spirit said, I will get inside the mouth of 400 prophets, and they'll all jointly agree that he should go to Ramoth Gilead. I will be a lying spirit in their mouth. See, here God has just showed you what's on the other side of the yoke. You think they're nice people. You think they're good people. You think, well, I know they don't go to our church, or they don't go to church, but they're still good people, and I don't mind. You know, they're not hurting me. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I know this is a little bit late, and I feel better now that I'm preaching than I have in the last 2 days. So I'm just going to run with it for a few more minutes, if that's okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That quickened means made alive. Now look at verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let me tell you what this Bible says about who's on the other side of the yoke that you're in. If they are not born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and have faith in His Word, let me tell you, they have a spirit in them. No, I'm not saying that you're going to see their head spin around, black stuff shooting out of their face, blood spattered all over the walls of their bedroom. They don't go do satanic rituals down here at the slab every other weekend. They don't do that stuff. But I guarantee you, if they're lost, they have a different spirit in them than what you have. And see, the spirit that is in you pulled back on you and said, watch this now. This is not good. You need to step out of this thing. No spirit ever told them that. In fact, if you ask them, I'm not sure about that thing. Except for, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. We've been doing this all the time. Lots of people do this. That's 400 prophets of Baal right there. This spirit said, I'll go be in their mouth and they will lie through their teeth. And I'll give them the exact words to say. And they lied through their teeth. And God said, that's exactly how I want it done. And Ahab got slaughtered the next day. Let's read the rest of it. So he said, verse 23, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. And Ahab's sitting there going, see, I told you I hate him. He preaches this stuff all the time to me. It just makes me mad. I don't go to his church anymore. In fact, I wish I could have him killed. I just don't like that kind of preaching anymore. That's not really how it's done nowadays. And I'm just telling you, ask God to show you what's on the other side of the yoke. If it's Christ, amen, so be it. You'll have an easy way. Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But if it's not Christ, when they go down, you're going down. Mark this preacher's word. And I'm just asking you this morning, ask yourself the question. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Don't know why I'm preaching it. God hasn't shown me. Now this is for such and such. This is for so and so here. I want you to do because you know what. I have no idea who this is for. Might be for me. But I'm just telling you, if you're yoked into something, you need to ask God to show you who's on that other side of that yoke. And if you'll let God will open up your eyes to spirits that are working in this world. Whether they are the satanic devil spirits that are working in opposition to heaven, or it is God's Holy Spirit that is working with you to go to heaven. And the truth of it is, you and I both know, we've been in this thing long enough. I deal a whole lot better in life when I am around godly people than when I am around lost people. You know what happens to Mike Hoggard after a while of being around lost people? And I don't mean not even witnessing to them. I don't mean that. I mean doing what they do and going places they go. You know what happens to me after a while? I start thinking the way lost people think. Then you'll start justifying what you're doing. Well, God, they go to church. They don't see anything wrong with this. I had my high school principal, because I stood up against a teacher that wanted to teach homosexuality when I was in 10th grade. And it was known that I didn't like that. I didn't want it taught. I thought it was wrong. I didn't know the teacher was a lesbian. I didn't know it. And the principal called me into his office, wanted to chat with me about it, and said, now, Mike, he said, I go to church. And he said, at our church, we don't really have a problem with what she's trying to do. And God had put enough sense in me at that age, Matthew, that I just said, you know what? There's a good reason why I don't go to your church. Amen. Now, I'm not exalting Mike Hoggard and telling you that I've only seen this in the Bible, haven't seen it in myself, because I'm telling you, I've been halfway down the road before God let me see the danger of it. But thank God He got me halfway down the road. And I've lost friends, and I've lost family members, and I've lost church members, people that I loved, people that I cared about, who hate my guts to this day. Because I had to pull the brakes on and say, I'm stopping right here. I can't go any further with you. Too bad. You're going to lose some people. You're going to make some people mad. That cannot be helped. You have to ask yourself, where do I want to spend eternity? And who's going to get? Is the other side of this yoke going to get me into eternity? Ask that question. Let's stand to our feet.